If you have any discomfort during the experience, please signal a facilitator.
All right, this is Pure Decking for Saturday. What the hell is it say? March the 7th, 2015. This show about stuff that interests me. Like, I almost said 2013. I almost said they're completely wrong. Do you, pardon me, do you have the year?
I think it's 3035.
Fuck, I missed the singularity. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and asking people questions they're not expecting. I'm Morps, and tonight we have with us the BSV. BSV, what was your favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Jello.
Did you say yellow?
Jello.
Fair enough. Are you 486? Are you? Tell me something wrong with the Star Trek universe.
There's too many droids.
And Mad I want Man. A nerd rage on you so bad right now.
And finally we have Madman. Madman, what is the capital of Assyria?
BG? They are no, there's like two droids in the Star Trek universe.
Oh, that's the best cold open we've done in a while. Oh, I'm drinking a little bit of Jim Beam Black. Okay, that's not a little, but I'm drinking Jim Beam Black.
Dear Mr. Morps, in referring to the show you did on the 7th, the joke about droids is not funny.
Well, they're the slaves of the Star Trek universe, right?
Yes, they are. And everyone loves those Vulcan Jedi.
Madman, what are you drinking?
I've got a Dos Equis and a Four Roses single barrel.
Well, and you're going to be getting a lot more of that Four Roses after that one. Drink till it makes sense. BSV, what are you drinking?
Angry Urchard again.
And I'd ask RU what he's drinking, but we all know that he's waiting to give us the instructions of when to drop the acid tabs. So,
Wait, we were supposed to wait?
Oh, that's going to make things please. More interesting
no.
for you. Oh, let me make a little note here. BSV can't follow instructions. Okay.
Yeah, also, note time, 2:14.
Time of death.
That's predicted time of death, AM. Tomorrow.
All right. So a little bit of station news. The beta site seems to be going rather well. I haven't really had too much time to work on it this week, but it is, the back end is so much easier to manage. I did see that Juver went and posted every show from the beta site, all the deckings that didn't make it onto the old one, into the subreddit, like within an hour of me throwing the beta site link on there.
You're,
like, damn, dude.
Your invisible free t-shirt will be available next month.
I think it was Juver, wasn't it?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Make sure.
Double check it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Juver.
Wasn't Cycros? It was definitely Juver.
It was. Yeah, I pulled up the subreddit. It was Juver.
Okay.
Because I was suddenly thinking that too. It's like, wait a minute. Cycros does a lot too. Wait a minute. So that's been going well. See, you wanted to wait on. So, anybody else have any station news before we get into the discussion topic, or what? The beta site's it for me. I mean, no. All right, thought I'd ask. Throw it out there. So I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but uTorrent has been slowly getting worse and worse, and kind of hit a fever pitch. This week. Does anybody still use uTorrent?
No.
I've almost stopped torrenting.
Yeah.
I mostly stream everything now. There are some books that I wouldn't mind torrenting, but I just haven't downloaded anything to torrent them with.
Yeah. Well,
I bet you don't seed, you asshole.
Do not download uTorrent. And it's been going downhill ever since version 3. I guess if anybody didn't know, the company, the guy who wrote the original torrent protocol, he tried to set up a company around it. And then that company pretty much turned into an advertising company and bought uTorrent because it was better than the official BitTorrent client. And then promptly have proceeded to destroy it up to the point that on the uTorrent forums, we found this fun post. When I updated uTorrent to version 3.4.2 build 3891332 bit this morning, it silently installed a piece of software called Epic Scale. There was no information about this during the installation, and I did opt out of your other bundled software. Epic Scale is a Bitcoin miner that also purports to use your unused processing power to change the world. It's easily noticeable by the increased CPU load when the computer is idle. The date and time on the Epic Scale files matches the date and time of the uTorrent update, which confirms uTorrent as the source. So, and that forum post is kind of the top post, but there are a lot of posts of people finding this thing. So, in the latest revision of uTorrent, they included this. I want to call it adware because it's not openly malicious. It's not like the ones that steal your traffic and shit, but I guess you could say it steals your CPU time because it then turns your computer into a Bitcoin miner for somebody else.
I almost want to call anything that's installed on my computer without my consent
malware
or spyware.
Right, it's not spyware because I don't think it's spying.
Well, it's
on
not
you,
spying
but it's
on me, so malware.
It's definitely malware. It definitely fits into that category. I mean, it's not actively malicious, but it's certainly stealing CPU time from you. So, TorrentFrink has an article up as well. Many of the users of the popular BitTorrent client uTorrent are complaining about it, silently installing a cryptocurrency miner with a recent update. Epic Scale tool, which slows down host computers, is reportedly being installed without consent, and for some is particularly hard to remove. With over 150 million active users a month, uTorrent is by far the most used BitTorrent client around. So, time to switch everyone over to Deluge, I believe, which is the open source one that comes with most Linux installs. I think they have a Windows build. I think. Probably. I don't actually know. I'll have to go check. But in reality, from a pure security standpoint, you probably shouldn't be running BitTorrent in the first place because it's not anonymous at all. I don't know if anybody... Yeah, we can cover this. when you connect to a BitTorrent, if you ever go up and hit the Peers tab, at least in the older versions of uTorrent, I'm not sure if it's still there or not, you could see all the other IPs your computer could connect to in that torrent's swarm. So you can see the IP of everybody else who's downloading that file, or at least actively right then, or seeding it. So when whatever various copyright groups decide they want to go and do enforcement against the torrent, all they do is connect to it, pull the IP list, and then send out the takedown notices and lawsuit threats. So, you know, there's that. So from that standpoint, BitTorrent's not all that great to use in the first place unless it's something like something, if you're doing anything with it that, even though I don't particularly agree with the copyright law, it is illegal. I don't agree with the enforcement of that particular copyright law, let me put it that way. I do think content owners should have a say in their work. I just don't think they have the right to claim that they own music as an art form. So, I don't know. Anybody else have any thoughts on this?
I'm just getting really pissed off about every company that's offering free software bundling it with crap that I don't want. I mean, I'm cool with them offering other stuff. I just think I need to opt in rather than opt out. And it really pisses me off when it just goes ahead and installs shit. Like, I've had to delete the Ask toolbar 3 or 4 times. Not because I'm downloading it 3 or 4 times. It's the software I'm going after is bundled with it and then doesn't give me the option to opt out of it.
Well, you know, that's interesting. It's not even just free software. For example, I have a legit copy of FL Studio, which apparently is rare. Most people just pirate that thing. But and FL Studio actually comes with an AVG toolbar. And you can actually uncheck it on install, but they really work hard to make it look like you can't. It's like grayed out and in a different font and all this other shit. So it looks like it's just going to install it. And I have had on a system before where I'd missed that checkbox because I was installing FL Studio for its plugins. And you know, next thing I knew, I had some stupid toolbar in my browser making it run like crap. So, I mean, hell, I miss them. Everybody misses them. And the next thing you know, you got this shit all over your machine.
Yeah, if you have a product worth getting, you don't need to throw that shit in there.
I mean, I understand this company's trying to monetize on the free model, but there's got to be a better way. So, I don't know. BSV, do you have anything on this?
No. No, I was mainly just making sure that...
He's just updating his torrent client to .yourtorrent right now.
Yeah, he's going through his computer right now. It's like, fuck.
Like, damn it, they've seen that I've downloaded La Salsa. And if anyone's wondering, don't.
I don't even know what it is.
And you're happier for it, are you? You're happier
for it. I did switch from uTorrent quite a while ago, so I've just...
Yeah.
Main reason the torrent program's still on my computer. Is I've just been too lazy to remove it.
Yeah, I understand that.
When you're on pure decking, you're going through your computer and removing shit you don't want anymore.
What's this? It says Morps's back door. Hey!
But that's the reason for these notes.
Oh, come on. You know I'd label it just so that you get upset at me when you found it. Or so when I'm finally done with it, I can say, you know, I can't believe you never noticed.
Look, eventually I moved it to your desktop, dude.
It's right next to all the Miley Cyrus music videos. I figured you would have seen it right there.
Right under the Nickelback compilation album.
Oh!
The 3 gigabyte one.
Yeah, 3 gigabyte, 2 songs.
What's the rest of it?
Oh, Madman hasn't seen that video. He doesn't know the joke.
Oh, really? I'll have to find it for you later, Madman.
We'll have to find that video. That needs to go in the show notes. I'm gonna tack that on to Digital Dojo. I think that was Black Hat Forensic Fails, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Black Hat Forensic Fails at DEF CON. I think it was DEF CON.
It was DEF CON Forensic Fails. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was DEF CON. I think it was 2012.
Let's see. DEF CON 21, actually. Forensic Fails.
21, okay.
Yep, here it is.
Yeah, so
it's,
that should
was
go
about
in there.
To start playing, but I will copy that link into the show notes right now, so when I go post the show, it will
everyone
show.
Can get the joke.
Short version of the joke, Pregger Porn.
Oh, God.
Hidden in a Nickelback album on company computer.
Just be aware the guy giving the presentation smacks his lips a lot, and it's really annoying.
Yeah, he's really annoying.
I don't know, do you care about the uTorrent, you know, installing a Bitcoin miner thing? I mean, that's pretty fucking brazen.
It is, but... You are torrenting. You are pretty much stealing shit. And although you don't expect your burglary tools to run off and do a pull a job when you're not using them, it is part of the territory, man. I think it is anyway. It's still part of that Wild West mentality that the some of the old net still seems to have.
No, I don't disagree with you there.
I mean, if you want to play with the big boys and steal shit and stuff like that, you better know the game pretty well. That's all I'm saying. And if you can't catch that yourself, then you probably shouldn't be downloading files that you're not really sure and just going by the name of what they are.
Yeah, that's the thing in the Torrent Freak article. They're talking about how people are having a hard time removing it. And it's like, oh, yeah, if you have a hard time handling a program you don't want being on your machine, you know, like if you don't know what to do about it, you really shouldn't be messing with torrents.
Yeah, you really shouldn't be. And that's, I used to torrent quite a lot, but I had a separate hard drive for that. You know, a separate air-gapped machine where it didn't touch my main rig.
Yeah.
Or my main internet, you know.
I didn't quite go to that extreme, but I did have a virtual machine with a couple of different scanning tools built into it, and Wine. And this was important because Wine, as a forensic tool, is actually awesome. If you have a program that'll probably run in Wine in Linux. Because Wine creates these bottles, right? So as a forensic tool, you can copy the virtual C drive off somewhere else, just make a copy of it, and then install whatever program it is and compare, you know, just do a diff of the two file systems, you know, the copy that you made of the Wine bottle and the one after you installed the program, and just see if it dropped other crap in or not.
Yeah,
which forensically is fantastic, but you know, that's probably not a common usage of the program. But it's something I used to do quite a bit, actually, and it worked fantastically. We're just seeing if something had something else in it.
Yeah,
and I have gotten doing that. Actually, got a Wine install infected before, where I saw my Linux box running Windows virus, and it's just like, well, that sucks. Roll back snapshot.
Yeah.
So, but
I'm not one who wants my main rig ever down. So if I'm going to do anything dubious, it's on an entirely different system. That's not used for gaming.
Yeah, fair ball. That's the best way to go. If you've got a disposable rig, I think virtual machines are great for that personally. But there's a bit of a technical leap there, and if you're not that comfortable with it, you absolutely just a spare rig is the way to go.
Yep, and that way you can do it at your leisure.
You know, and that's actually
have a problem.
You know, it brings up a really good point. We're talking about doing that with stuff that you think might be dodgy. I think we're probably at the point now where, unless you really trust the source, you probably ought to be testing everything on a spare rig. Or in a virtual machine.
That's why I hit you guys up for like safe flash installs and stuff like that. Is, man, I'm always getting burnt by that shit.
Yeah. So, actually, I'm really getting a kick out of. I recently formatted my main daily everyday carry laptop over to Linux full time because the Windows 10 technical preview blew it up, and I didn't feel like fixing it, so I just blew it away and put Ubuntu on it. And on Ubuntu, somebody has extracted the Flash binaries that were part of Chromium, the Pepper Flash, and compiled it as a separate Flash install so you can just install it on your system like it's regular Flash, because that one's actually being maintained and kept up to date. So I just noticed that, and you mentioned Flash a minute ago, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So
I usually just go to Adobe and then click that I don't want McAfee or Ask Jeeves and download Flash from them.
Yeah.
And I hate that I have to do that.
It's, well, luckily Flash is on its way out the door with most of the major video sites going to HTML5. Admittedly, it's so that they can work on iPads, but still, I mean, it's you know, Flash is on its way out. If Flash goes away, from a security standpoint, I'm happy. Gets one less thing to worry about, you know what I mean? But it's going to be a long time before, you know, you completely get rid of it.
Current events?
Current events. This first story up is awesome. It's from The Guardian. In the teeming capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo, where drivers often flout traffic rules, five clunky, arm-waving robots equipped with cameras and lights have been set up to watch over the roads. The solar-powered aluminum robots are huge, towering over jammed streets of Kinshasa as cars and motorcycles jostle for road room, their horns blasting. Each hand on the odd-looking machines, built to withstand the year-round hot climate, is fitted with green and red lights that regulate the flow of traffic in the sprawling city of 9 million. The robots are also equipped with rotating chests and surveillance cameras that record the flow of traffic and send real-time images to the police station. Though the humanoids look more like giant toys than real policemen, motorists have given them a thumbs up. There are certain drivers who don't respect the traffic police, but with the robot, it will be different. We should respect the robot.
Yeah, fuck all humans. I love VCRs.
Stalled AFP. We're very happy about it, he said. His taxi packed with passengers as drivers around him honked their horns in a desperate bid to cut through the traffic jam. Of the five robots set up across the capital, two have been regulating traffic since 2013. And you should click the link for this story and go see the picture of these things. These things are like, I don't know, 20, 25 feet tall. They kind of look like a kind of looks like something out of the Power Rangers. I don't think they actually move because he's got like the robot's got this solar panel on top of him. He's it's just kind of built up and over it. So I think it's more supposed to be kind of a modernist structure kind of thing. But
dude, it's like right out of the '60s,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But I can guarantee that if somebody's not going to obey an actual armed police officer, they're not going to give a fuck about a, you know, street statue.
I'm betting with until the name like Democratic Republic of Congo that it's not real democratic.
That's true.
Well, Mups, they won't obey them until they start saying, you have 5 seconds to apply, comply, citizen, and then open fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's made of aluminum. How much is aluminum per pound? And how long before the crackheads steal it all?
5 seconds?
Well, I think it's more the fact that they've got these rotating cameras in them so they can actually try to prosecute people who are breaking the law. Because if you keep going in the story there, I cut a lot of it out just because it's more the spectacle of these giant robots to direct traffic. Which, admittedly, the idea of a 30-foot-tall robot standing over the road telling you what to do, I mean, if you think it might move, I could see that being imposing. Although, at the same time, birds think a scarecrow is actually a person standing out there in the field, so I kind of wonder.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And you might think black people are slightly dumber than crows. If you're racist. They're eventually going to realize those robots aren't going to crush their cars. And go back to business as normal.
Yeah. So, in addition to the five they've already got, they need one that can actually move around to do that, so they never know which one's which.
And rotate them out once a week.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night. Yes.
It's like, I want one that can actually bend over and pick up a car.
I'm thinking, why not just run traffic lights and then cameras, keep track if I don't know the license plates, and go arrest people? Or am I thinking of what functioning countries do?
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking these robots look like a prop out of one of the Batman movies. One of the Batman movies from a few years ago. Not the Nolan ones, the older ones. The Michael Keaton Batmans.
Yeah. I guarantee, dude, they won't be there next month. Someone's going to nick it all for the steal. Well,
apparently they've had one up since 2013. They've had a couple of them up since 2013.
No, I'm going with Power Rangers. It's definitely Power Rangers.
It does have that look to it, doesn't it?
Now they just need to paint them different colors.
Oh, I'm sure the locals will do that for them once they figure out they don't actually move.
If they don't move, how can you call them robots?
Well, apparently the top of them can rotate around and they can move the arms up and down to try to direct the flow of traffic.
Okay.
But I'm fairly certain they don't, walk.
Dude, although, I want to design one that dances.
Alpha, dance, bravo, cover alpha. Anyways.
That was only the funny the first two times you shot me in the head.
It worked, didn't it? Nobody's going to get that joke, though. In the original Unreal Tournament 2003 and 2004, they had kind of this early version voice command set you could use. And I was playing Madman, and we had bots on our team. So I set up the distraction, and then the distraction's guard. And I guess he heard me say that from down the hall and just started laughing. And
I found the bot and shot him and got shot by his friend. I did get a kill, though.
So, all right, let's see. Next one up is from ArsTechnica.com. Computers running all supported versions of Microsoft Windows are vulnerable to Freak, a bug disclosed Monday that for more than a decade has made it possible for attackers to bypass HTTPS encryption, protected traffic passing between vulnerable end users and millions of websites. Microsoft confirmed the vulnerability in an advisory published Thursday. A vulnerability scanning service at freakattack.com, a site that offers information about the bug, confirmed the advisory showing the latest version of IE11 running on fully patched Windows 7 was susceptible. Previously, it was believed that Windows system was immune to the attacks. So, let me explain Freak here a little bit. For one thing, I'm really not a fan of all this naming of vulnerabilities, because it gets people riled up and you have to explain what these things are and how these work to people who aren't technical because they're scared because the news said that your computer has the Freak vulnerability. And then at my job, I get our customers and our business partners calling and saying, what has your company done to mitigate this? We've told people not to be stupid.
Wow.
So Freak is very similar to the Poodle vulnerability, in that if you can do a man-in-the-middle attack, it's possible to induce the server and the client to use a very weak version of encryption for the SSL connection. And the name Freak is partly coming from RSA export keys, because back in the 90s and early 2000s, computer encryption was classified by the United States government as a munition. So there were limits imposed by the government on what kind of encryption you could do for communications that crossed borders. And this encryption was rather weak. So what's called export standard keys are weak encryption that met these old rules in the 90s for encryption that was allowed to go across international borders because it was classified as a munition. And apparently modern clients still support it in their SSL stack, even though by today's standards you could crack it in a couple of hours. I mean, it is a serious bug. It does need to be addressed. I just really don't like this whole giving them names and giving software vulnerabilities marketing. I don't know.
Do they have a domaining? Do they have like a way to name these viruses, like they name hurricanes?
No. Is there a convention? Whoever finds it gets to come up with a name for it.
Really? Because we should start off with like Hanna-Barbera cartoon characters, and then start moving through. You know, so you got the Motley virus, things like that.
Dude, Hanna-Barbera did a Super Friends cartoon. You could go through like a dozen DC.
Yeah, there's plenty of potential here for a really cool naming convention, and we're not scaring the public. You know,
so you just pretty much tell your employers and the vendors, we already tried to stop all man in the middle attacks, not just this particular one.
Yeah, but that answer's not good enough because they saw it on the news. So you actually have to write up documentation of how you're addressing the Freak vulnerability.
So you just take this is how we address man-in-the-middle attacks, and paste Freak on the top of it.
I tried that with Poodle. It didn't fly.
Poodle?
And then I sent the fake write-up of how we are instructing our employees to ensure secure communications and using employee motivational devices, see appendix, for
legally
reinforcement. And then the appendix listed out cattle prod, Nerf gun, whip. My boss didn't like that one either for some reason.
Yeah, you don't want to cattle prod somebody typing at your machine. You might have to replace a hard drive. Base.
You know, that
computers
reminds...
are resistant to chemical weapons.
We use tough books. Why? To survive our training methods. It's like, you're a bank. What the fuck, man? But
if you fail two phishing attempts, you get maced by IT.
Dude, they published they published the internal injury summary, and it's like, how did 10 people get hurt working in an office complex? I don't understand.
Well, 8 of them were the toilet related incidents. And the other was the old photocopier explosion.
Then the other ones, some IT mixed up versions of mace to use on people.
Well, it was the day Kevin took the Nerf part off his Nerf bat.
We took a Nerf bat and filled it with concrete, and then...
then it stopped being a Nerf bat anymore. It's a slab of concrete.
No, it still says Nerf on the side. It's fine.
Then I bridged these cells in this lithium battery.
Uh-oh. It reminds me, though, there's a really stupid video on YouTube of a guy taking a brand new iPhone 6 and taking a taser to it to see what happened. And then going, oh, it turned off.
Oh, really?
That's weird.
Yeah,
he was surprised when it went off after he tased it a couple of times. Then he proceeds to tase it a lot more and then start stabbing it with the taser. So, yeah.
So is there a way to protect against the freak attack?
Yeah, you can disable the weak encryption in both your server config and some of your browsers. You might have options to turn it off, but it's really a server-side fix. The big one, use a VPN and just don't let somebody man in the middle of you. So if you're on a Wi-Fi network you don't trust, you probably shouldn't log into your bank or your work email. Just a thought. Or if you do, VPN back to your company first. So if you work at a job where you're provided, you know, that kind of connectivity and you have email and shit like that, and you regularly need to use the Wi-Fi at Starbucks, go ask for VPN access. They probably have it. Go ahead.
Bug it. That's security's problem, not mine.
Sad that that's the answer I get a lot, actually.
Here's how security fixes that problem. Security,
you're
no longer
supposed
have
to be
access.
Fixing that. That's actually, are you? That's sad. I've gotten that answer before. Oh no, that's security. Your security. You're supposed to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to fix that. I'm telling you I'm telling you it's a behavioral issue, and I'm asking you not to, you know, log in from, you know, free public Wi-Fi, you know, and you, without at least using HTTPS. No, your security. You should fix that.
Okay, I'll fix that. You no longer have a password.
Yeah, no shit.
Your access has been revoked.
I'm sorry, we've deemed you too stupid to work here. Have a nice life.
And companies need to do that.
I've made that recommendation a couple of times, actually. They followed through once.
Just here. They either need to do things correctly or
to be
not
fair,
have access
it wasn't,
to do those things.
That particular instance where they followed through wasn't somebody making that argument. It was a different argument, and nobody disagreed with me when I said that person needs to go. So, I think they were looking for an excuse to get rid of that person anyways. But, so, no, I didn't just get somebody arbitrarily fired for disagreeing with me. God, that'd
wouldn't
be
surprise
awesome, though.
Me, though.
Just anybody disagree with me, you're gone.
No, you'd have to give, you know, a legitimate reason, but This is how we protect our business.
Here. That's our reason.
That's not one of the protected classes. You might
be
able
to
defend this in a
lawsuit. The social justice warriors are going to get stupid added to the list of the 7 protected classes. Fuck, is it still 7? I haven't checked in a while.
It depends on what state you're in.
Okay. Let's see. Next one up, how's that net neutrality working out for you? This one's from GameSpot. Much like the PlayStation 3 version of the app, HBO Go on PlayStation 4 is blocked if you're a Comcast customer. Sony announced that the much-anticipated arrival of HBO Go app on PS4 earlier this week. Those who have been hoping for the PS4 version would bring a resolution to the problem that existed on the PS3 version for a year were solely disappointed. Comcast continues to prevent its customers from accessing the streaming service, despite competitors like AT&T, Verizon, Time Warner Cable, DirecTV, and others allowing it. Comcast has yet to offer a satisfactory answer for the lack of support. As TechDirt notes, customer complaints over the past year since the PS3 got HBO Go have been met with a variety of responses from Comcast. Most recently, a company spokesperson chalked the issue up to business decisions. HBO Go availability on PS3 and other devices are business decisions and deal with business terms that have not yet been agreed to between the parties. Spokesperson on Comcast Forum said recently, thanks for your continued patience. When contacted by GameSpot for comment, a Comcast spokesperson declined to offer a timeline for when PS3 or PS4 support would be coming, instead highlighting that HBO's library is available through Xfinity set-top boxes and through the Xfinity TV Go program. PlayStation systems are not the only affected devices that Comcast has prevented HBO Go on. Customers were unable to access the service from Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and a few others. So, Comcast is actively blocking, you know, one video service and saying, oh, you can get the content over here on our service. Yeah, how's that FCC net neutrality working out for you?
But I'm paying you for a connection. I want to use that connection on whichever device I deem necessary.
Oh, I agree 100%. You shouldn't, you know, the ISP shouldn't be screwing with anything. This is why we need competition among ISPs, so that any ISP starts playing that game, I can just say, screw you, and go to the next one. I don't have a camera on me, but I did just give, you know, just through the middle finger. But, yeah, I don't disagree with you 100% at all, Madman. I'm more pointing at this story, not so much because, I mean, hell, it's easy to, you know, yell at Comcast and yell how evil they are. It's more because this FCC decision they made a few weeks ago has literally done nothing.
They haven't released what they want to do yet. They've just given them the power to do something.
Yeah, they still haven't published that document, have they?
No, they haven't come up with any rules. They just have the ability to make rules.
It's been 2 weeks since they made that decision, and they still haven't published the. Let's just look. I'm going to keep this. This bothers me. Okay, this bugs the shit out of me. So I'm going to be tracking this on Decking every week until they finally publish it.
Well, I can't even say it's a bad idea, which I think it's probably going to be a bad idea. But intellectually, I can't say that till they at least say what they're doing. They might actually fix something. I'm not sure how.
They might. I'm with you. I don't know if the rule's good or not.
It is optimism.
But if you pass something, you should release it.
Well, they didn't pass it. That's one problem I'm having. This is completely being done by the executive branch. Nothing has been voted on.
Well, the 5 members of the FCC commission voted on it.
They don't count. They're not people. It's the truth.
Quote of the week: FCC commission are not people. I love it.
The FCC commission does whatever the president tells them to do.
I would just like to say, can I be trialed separately, Your Honor?
Sure thing, Winston. Anyways, it's a Ghostbusters joke.
I know. And okay. I was just mourning the fact that they're remaking it with women.
Yeah, the fact that they're letting all that social stuff dictate how they write a script is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a good movie, I'm not going to care, but if it's not, then I can blame it on that. Yeah, I'm clicking around the FCC website. Still can't find it.
Nope. Thanks, Obama.
Seriously, if you're going to pass open internet legislation or rules, whatever, it'd be rules in this case, it's a regulatory body, you have to publish the document. Otherwise, how do you know if you're in compliance or not?
I'll tell you.
Like, literally, we, you know, our network guys at work cannot answer the question if we have to do anything for this or not, because you can classify your company as an ISP with regards to internet service to customers and your employees. So, my previous job, where I worked at the university, we were an ISP to everyone who worked on campus or lived on campus. So, you know, the fact that they haven't published these rules means that, fuck, I don't know. Like, are you in compliance? I don't know. You haven't told me what compliance means.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Yeah, that's
the
trick.
They have discovered the ultimate version of a Wimblar.
Yeah, it's like
nobody
knows
what it is.
We're just not going to tell you the rules, and we'll just tell you if you're in compliance or not. That's probably the sad truth right there. That's probably what it is. It's like, yeah, we're not going to publish the full document, but we'll let you know.
One upside, business would actually fight that.
And they
are.
They
come up with stupid laws all they want.
I believe Comcast is actually trying to put together a group of companies to do a lawsuit against the FCC.
Class action, yeah.
Oh, no, not them.
Yeah,
Time Warner do it. I want somebody I can cheer on.
It's like, damn it, the people we hate are doing something sort of right. Damn it.
I know they're going to find a way to pervert this.
That's true.
It's kind of like Satan coming up with a good idea. He's going to find a way to fuck you.
And on that note, let's go to the next story.
No one wants to get on the whole Satan thing, man.
Not really, hey. No, because, you know, whereas I could totally see the next step of that joke with Saddam Hussein references, I just don't really want to go there.
I'm just going, he has to be on the board of Comcast.
Well, I'm sure he's a senior partner, but...
I do like the angel reference there. Just what you did.
I need a beer.
Oh. And I thought that was a lot of whiskey. I'm thinking I need more. Next story is from CNET. Alip Philippon arrived at Halifax Stanfield International Airport in Canada and was stopped by border agents. He had flown in from the Dominican Republic. As the Canadian Broadcast Corporation reports, the agents wanted access to his cell phone. Philippon refused to give them the passcode and was arrested. So, flat out at the border patrol, the Canadian border, this guy from the Dominican Republic refused to give him the PIN code to his phone number, and so they arrested him on the spot. A spokesperson for the Canadian Border Services Agency confirmed that he had been arrested under Section 153.1 of the Customs Act for hindering. What was he hindering, or was he, as he told CBC, merely protecting something he deemed personal? The Border Agency spokesperson told the author of the story, the Customs Act S99 authorizes officers to examine all goods and conveyances, including electronic devices such as cell phones and laptops. She explained that the potential punishment for Philippon is a minimum fine of $1,000 and a maximum fine of $25,000 and could include possible jail time. Jail time and a $25,000 fine because he didn't give up the PIN code to his phone. That makes me wonder what was on that phone. While refusing to reveal the precise precepts the agents used in this case to detain Philippon, the spokesperson added, officers are trained to look for indicators of deception and use a risk management approach in determining which goods may warrant a closer look. One person's risk management is another person's you're risking my wrath.
Yeah.
Who wrote this?
I'd have to click the link to see. It's from CNET.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's hard to read. When it comes to alleged national security, the concept of personal seems rarely to exist. Everything many governments believe should be and is being spied upon. CBC reports that the issue of giving your passcode to authorities has never been litigated in Canada. Philippon's court hearing is scheduled for May the 12th, and it's one thing to hand over your phone, but could handing over your passcode be deemed self-incrimination? In the U.S., the Fifth Amendment protects you from incriminating yourself. As Electronic Frontier Foundation says, courts have generally applied that to that passcodes are testimony. The EFF senior attorney... Yeah. So, Canada has actually arrested somebody for refusing to give up their cell phone password.
My quick question. Well, it said cell phone and computers.
Uh-huh.
What if you're traveling with a work computer that... Pretty sure most work laptops... The company doesn't want you to give access to that laptop to other people.
Well?
Does your company have something to hide, sir? Are you a terrorist?
Company secrets?
No, no, but I'm a doctor, and that's a good point, man, because I used my laptop for when I was working previously, and I had client files on there, and even a cop can't look at them. Can't even look at the names of the files without a warrant. I wonder how that would have gone.
You would have been tased is how that would have gone. Because the guy was trying to come in through border, and that's the thing, is a lot of companies, a lot of countries.
Companies, countries, say, same thing.
Yeah, well, you know. They're close enough, right?
One has borders, one doesn't.
Unlike the, I forgot the joke now. Damn it. Kids in the Hall had a great reference where it says the Japanese, which are not a company, they're actually a nationality, versus the United States government, which is a company. But, yeah. I just think it's fucked. This guy's going to get jail time and $25,000 fine for not giving up his cell phone password. And
that's pretty harsh, man.
Yeah, and it's like, it's Canada. I thought they were supposed to be all laid back and, I don't know, toking.
Maybe it was an American
born Canadian
citizen.
What do you think is a legitimate search, though? Because they're allowed to look at everything that you're bringing in when you're going into through the borders into a country.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
So,
I mean,
how far is a legitimate search? Is it just looking at it, oh, this is a cell phone, it's not a weapon, it can't be bringing anything deadly because it's not going to be bringing any diseases or anything that, or is the data on there available for search? Because they can look at your documents. They can check to see what you're bringing in. Are you coming in with legitimate business?
See, I don't know. I don't honestly have a good answer for that. My knee-jerk reaction is say, no, you can't go through somebody's laptop and cell phone beyond popping the lid on it and making sure it's not actually a bomb. You know, making sure, yep, that's in the circuit board in there. Well, you could argue a lithium-ion battery is a bomb, but that's...
that's a lithium-ion battery, no matter what joke I'm making with it.
Shut up. You're not making it easier for me to travel next year.
Yeah, never point that one out to the airlines.
Don't worry about it. It's not like a Semtex or anything. It's just a lithium battery, but I can still blow it up. You want
to
see me do it?
I can tell the difference because I've dealt with Semtex before. You don't want to say the TSA.
Yeah, swab my hands. I still have residue. Yeah, there's something you don't want to say.
Ooh, that reminds me. I didn't include the story in decking just because I couldn't find a good article that I liked. Anybody else see that the TSA has apparently put together this behavioral
analysis?
Analytics? Yeah, that thing. They've got this computer program that can pull in all this behavior information from cameras and shit, and it's effectively reading your mind, is what they claim.
No, it's
not. I like it. I like it.
It's like the TSA is developing this stuff. It's like, damn.
They're all good people at the TSA, and I, for one, cannot thank them enough for keeping me safe in my traveling journeys. Thanks,
you enjoyed
guys.
Your freedom fondle, didn't you?
I did.
It's like, I know you always have the right to request a member of the same sex give you the pat down. Can you request a member of the opposite sex to give you a pat down?
And can she be attractive?
No, I'm sorry. The waiting list for her is rather long, sir. If you want to make your flight, you're going to have to let Bertha here do it. I was expecting you to have to come back for that.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
I
got distracted.
It's all pink in the middle.
I don't know where this...
I'm just wondering where I can get hold of some glycerin next time I'm going through the airport scanners. My hands wiped down. Every time, man. Even when I travel locally. Like, just domestically. I get fucking bomb swapped. Bombed.
You're on a list.
Yeah.
Dude. Firecrackers are still legal in your country, right?
No.
Damn it, I don't want to go there anymore.
Nothing.
You can't have anything fun, can you?
Nope.
I was going to say, light off a packet of firecrackers, you're going to test positive for gunshot residue.
God, fuck, dude. Don't even want to think about what would happen if I tested positive for gunshot residue.
Okay, when you get to the airport, immediately make a beeline for whatever coffee house they have in there, then spill the coffee all over your hands. Preferably while it's still scalding hot. That way when
Why?
They go swab it, you can scream in pain.
Not bad.
Ooh, that can stay on your skin for days. Next time you come, we've got to go to a firing range. I have
Dude,
bullets. You can use them.
I have. I've never had a problem with the being swabbed for bullet for gunshot residue in America ever. You guys don't do it.
Not too many people fire guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're going to be testing positive half your fucking like nearly everyone going through the airport.
Oh yeah, millions of people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, put it this way, are you? Both Madman and I routinely handle firearms, and 75% of the time, it's in a socially acceptable setting. So,
yeah.
But also, when they make guns colored and small enough for children, which is slightly disturbing, but... Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not
My
disturbing.
Concealed carry comes in pink. I got the black model, but you can get it in pink.
It's very... You don't still use that gun, do you?
Maybe.
How many times has that thing had... How many times have you had casing hit you in the fucking face from that thing?
It's a love-hate relationship.
What are you using, Mattel's first gun for children?
I'm using a right-handed gun and I fire left-handed.
Fuck.
He's been burned twice from a bullet casing because the thing does a top eject.
Wow.
Landing between his nose and his glasses.
Bad man, you are drinks and an entertainment when you go out. You are the whole package, brother.
If I fire it right-handed, I'm safe.
If you have any discomfort during the experience, please signal the facilitator.
Yeah,
where are the
facilitators? Nobody else is safe if you're firing right-handed and you're left-handed.
Madman's actually a pretty good shot.
I know.
And I'm actually right-handed. My left eye's dominant. That's why I fire left-handed.
Yeah.
He's a better shot than I am. I gotta give him that.
I used to be really good when I was actually in practice.
So, you know, I can usually hit the broad side of a bar. He can actually hit what he's aiming at.
Nice. I am going to play devil's advocate here. I think the cops going into a country might have the right to search your files.
Why?
It falls under searching documents that you're bringing in just to see if you're a threat.
No, I want more of a justification than they have the right to look at your paper documents, so they should have the right to look at your electronic documents. Why? Why do you think they have the right to rifle through your papers?
Going in and out of the country? I believe that electronic files do fall into the same thing as a paper file. If we have a problem with them looking at your laptop or computers, then we should just ban them looking at your documentation.
That's what I'm asking. Why are they allowed to look at your documentation?
Idiots bring in bomb threats. I mean, generally, I'm not going to, and I don't think they're actually going to catch anyone. But if I'm bringing in my dossier that has a Rolodex on it, they can look at all the phone numbers. My cell phone's no different.
Well, I mean, they have to assume anybody with any intelligence is going to FedEx, you know, an external hard drive or something.
Whoops.
Oh, no. I wouldn't even do FedEx an external hard drive. Everything's accessible through the internet. Toss it on a server in Nigeria. You go to the U.S. with your blank smartphone and then just download everything you want off the server in Nigeria. I'm not saying this is effective.
I'm just saying I want to be tried separately, Your Honor.
Because there's a dozen ways around it. You can have it on a hidden folder. How thorough do you think they're going to be in the 5 minutes they're searching your laptop?
That's it. They're only looking. This is exactly it. They're firing your laptop up. I've got it all figured out now. You're going through the airport. They fire your laptop up. Desktop is clean. They open up the start tab. This is about the exit. And it's just the regular notepad, you know, a couple of things in there, calculator, whatever, AVG, Skype, and, you know, game of chess. And everything looks good. Yeah.
No.
It looks good.
That's not all they're doing.
They're also installing spyware.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Germany has, in particular, has gotten caught doing this. China has gotten caught doing this. It's suspected a lot of other customs offices, including our own in the United States, have done this.
What? So you're not allowed to be present when they're going through it?
You don't always see all of your stuff, because everything you're bringing in is going through customs. So the stuff you check as carry-on and everything that's in the luggage hold is still passing through customs. They have a lot of your luggage for quite a bit of time before you ever get to see it.
Oh, yeah, I know that, because they cut the locks off, go through everything, and then leave a fucking little note in there.
No, they don't cut the locks off. They use a pin and poke through the zipper and leave the locks in place.
You want to see the 9 fucking padlocks I've got that are cut from my last trip?
Wow, those guys are assholes, because usually you can just get right through the zipper without having to take the lock off at all.
You're talking about my bags and the way I lock them? You know the loop strap at the front?
Yeah.
Yeah. I go through the loop strap, through the two baggage tabs, like the zippers, and tie it there, so you can't fucking move it.
I'll shoot you a video here after this, or you'll want you to try something on that suitcase.
I know the one you're talking about, where you slide the pen in, and you can open up the entire thing, and then slide the zipper right around to close it up again, right?
Yes, that's it.
My bag, you can't move the zipper once it's fucking locked. So if they
they're cutting it, because they're getting in with the pin trick and then figuring out they can't hide what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they leave a note. Oh, I'm honor these motherfuckers, man. I realized they were going through my shit the first time. So I went and got a different bag this time. One where I could actually lock it where they couldn't do that. And if they did do it, I'd know about it. But every time they cut my locks off, the bastards. So... anyway, I just thought they flipped it up, checked it, right, you're through, there's no child porn sitting on the desktop. It's the equivalent of the cops come around, serve a warrant, don't have the bong and a half a bag of weed sitting on the fucking couch. You know, make sure the house looks clean and generic, like there's nothing going on in there. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
I see your point. I'm just concerned about
the malware. Just look legit, man. If you're going to commit a crime, look legit. Same if you're going to buy drugs and you need to travel in a vehicle, make sure the vehicle's not some lowrider fucking pimped out drug looking mobile. Make it a regular looking car.
With the spyware, I don't think they need the key for your phone to actually install that.
Yes, they do.
They
modern do? Self, that's, why do you think they're whinging so much about, you know, all the modern smartphones all being fully encrypted by default?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking newer ones are now fully encrypted. I thought you could still do plug and play, because I know a lot of last gen crap.
Yes,
Androids, you can do plug and play.
Yeah, you can, but most modern cell phones, modern Android, modern iOS, it's all encrypted by default. That's why the FBI was raising such a fit about it and saying that, you know, by encrypting your cell phones, you're protecting child predators and all this other shit.
No, I'm not a child predator. So by encrypting my cell phone, I'm not protecting a child predator.
You see, because you've encrypted your cell phone, we're going to assume you're a child predator until you can prove otherwise.
You just assume I'm a terrorist because I have reasons to hate my country.
Yes, we do. We do assume you're a terrorist. In fact, we just noticed you changed your name to Muhammad before boarding this flight.
That's just because I'm going to troll you. Just don't call me a fucking pedophile.
All right. Next story is from theindependent.co.uk. A photo of a car on fire, which wouldn't look out of place in a Hollywood action movie, has displayed the startling power of a new laser weapon which can disable a running car from over a mile away. Demonstrating the power of the 30-kilowatt laser. 30... I want to say that again. 30-kilowatt laser. Light of judgment, anybody? Fuck. The image shows a small truck with a smoke billowing from a hole seared into its bonnet. The prototype of the device was known as the Advanced Test High Energy Asset, also called Athena. Damn, they put some work into coming up with Athena for this laser. Successfully disabled the engine of the vehicle in a matter of seconds in its test run. During the test, the truck was mounted on a platform with its engine and drivetrain running to simulate a real life scenario. So it wasn't moving. They weren't hitting a moving target. They were hitting a still target that was on. The laser harnesses a technique called spectral beam combining, which causes multiple fiber laser modules to form a single powerful, high-quality beam, making the laser efficient but also highly lethal. This new laser technology looks likely to take center stage on the battlefield of the future. Cokie Jackson, Lockheed Martin Chief Technology Officer, said, "Fiber optic lasers are revolutionizing directed energy systems. We are investing in every component of the system, from the optics and the beam controlled to the laser itself, to drive size, weight, and power efficiency. This test represents the next step to providing lightweight and rugged laser weapons for military aircraft, helicopters, ships, and trucks." Last year, the U.S. Navy installed its first laser weapon system called LAWS on warship USS Points, which is currently stationed in the Persian Gulf. A video of the laser weapon system released by the Office of the Naval Research last year shows it being deployed aboard the ship. It shows the weapon being used against two test targets, including a speedboat, which burst into flames, and other targets were located at sea and in the air, including unmanned aerial vehicles or drones. Owing to the weapon's power, a Navy official claimed at the time that humans were not a target of the laws under stipulations of the Geneva Convention.
Bullshit. Yeah.
We've already got a better one for humans. Have you seen the microwave gun?
Yeah, where you just cook people alive? Yeah.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Yeah, they used that one for riots.
And embassy security. But I thought the U.S. was already using lasers as anti-missile things on this on our
laws.
Aircraft
that's what,
carriers.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about, laws.
This is for smaller vehicles, like
this is one
trucks.
That burned a hole in the hood of a truck in a couple of seconds from a mile away.
Think you can blind a pilot?
Yes, Madman, I think it could blind a pilot. I think it could take the pilot's head off and crash the plane.
I still want to play with one of these.
I just can't wait till they get to the point of being able to mount a small enough version on a drone.
Yeah, I want a laser pointer version of this badass.
I can't wait till the local PD has a version of this weapon.
No, dude. I can't wait till Whitaker's has a version of this weapon. My Second Amendment right guarantees me a laser death right.
That's fuck out of here, man.
That's it. It's
over.
It's a death ray.
I'm out.
I'm going to go sports hunting with this thing.
Fucking Second Amendment does not give you entitlement to a fucking death laser.
Right to bear arms. Death laser, kill a deer
fucking,
and cook it at the same damn time.
I'm fucking out of here, man. Nah, this is it. I'm going drinking now. There is no fucking way that part of the Constitution was written thinking that far forward that fucking death lasers are private ownership. And why would you be hunting squirrels with a death laser? I want to hunt
why
squirrels
would,
with
because?
A death laser now.
I want to do that now that you said that. I want
to. I just
want
to get it
laser.
To hold the eggs while I'm frying it and the eggs.
Wow, turkey hunts become so much easier now.
Just bring imagine Thanksgiving
dinner pre-cooked.
Oh, I can just see the NRA fucking up there going, yeah, and the founding fathers said that we should be able to have fucking lasers. You know,
now here's the thing, because it kills and it because it kills and cooks the bird at the same time. It would make trying to put together turducking much more interesting.
Oh, you'd have to stuff it while it's still alive if you wanted to get the full flavor of a turducken laser cooking.
It just brings up a whole different mess, you know, when you're talking about turducken and killing it with a laser.
That's one very surprised turkey.
You just
very sore duck and one chicken going, where the fuck am I? It's so dark in here.
I'm almost sorry I made that joke now.
But you wouldn't have to worry about plucking it.
So, rocket snail?
Yes, please.
Okay. The next one up is from businessinsider.com. Google just paid $25 million for exclusive rights to the .app app top-level web domain. Google decided to apply for new top-level domains way back in 2012, 4 years after ICANN, the organization that controls the world's domain names, decided to expand the overall number of generic top-level domains. Google applied for dozens at the time, including .docs, .android, .free, .fyi, .foo, and of course .app. ICANN has been gradually auctioning off the different domains since June 2014 in what can be a competitive and expensive process. .com LLC spent $6.7 million on the .tech domain last year. Reportedly beating out Google was also a bid. Amazon bought .buy for nearly $5 million and .spot for $2.2 million last fall. Comparatively, Google's $25 million investment in .app looks pretty steep. It's the most any company has paid in one of ICANN's auctions so far. Google currently lets people register for .how, soy, and minna, M-I-N-N-A, domains on its own ICANN-accredited domain registry. It also has plans for the registry and top-level domains .dad, here, eat, and new, among others, and presumably .app soon. You can't actually purchase domain like cooking.how via Google's registry. You get directed to partner sites, but the company also has its own domain registration service, which is still in beta. We've been excited and curious about the potential for new top-level domains for .soy, for .soy long. We are very .app-y with... Oh, God, that's horrible. Whoever wrote that needs to be shot. Drowned at birth for the benefit of mankind. They made a bunch of puns out of all the .dot names they have. So, screw it. Google bought .app. Yeah. Which... All these new top-level domains are going to make it really rough for companies trying to do brand control where they suddenly have to go hunt down 20 different registrars. I mean, think about Disney, right? They're going to have to go hunt down every registrar there are, or every registrar there is. I've been drinking, so forgive the improper English. I'm also from the South, so. you know.
And I'll understand you driving
Disney
later on.
Sex. I want to point that out.
Yeah, but what about Disney.app if Google owns it? Because eventually there's going to be one of these top-level domains that somebody's going to get Disney.whatever and, you know, put something horrible there.
I hope that person is me. What's going to happen is Disney's going to show up with a truckload of money and buy it from them.
No, a truck full of lawyers. One of the two.
Probably the lawyers before the money.
Money's generally cheaper.
You think?
Lawsuits are expensive. They'll go lawsuit if I'm asking more than what the lawsuit's going to cost.
Yeah.
But I could get a house out of that. I could definitely get a couple new motorcycles and a car.
Better off going the house.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you wanted to buy Disney.cookbook and set on it until Disney notices it, and then they're going to call you up, and you're just going to ask for $100,000. That's cheaper than their lawyers.
No, there's some provisions with regard to domain names where if you're obviously cyber squatting on a known brand, well, they'll just order the domain name to be turned over.
Yeah. I'll do something with it. I'll have, I don't know, mirroring episodes of Pure Decking. I don't know.
I can see that knock on the door. Whoa, I'm doing what now?
Now, Madman, if you have Disney.cook, you just have to put up a digital cookbook on how to cook your favorite Disney characters.
I have 1,000 recipes for how to cook rabbit from Winnie the Pooh.
So.
We can go, yeah, we could turn this into a wild game cooking website. I think we can do everything but owl, because that's a protected species.
So I found the sound clip I was looking for earlier, are you, with regards to the laser weapons?
Hey, I'm just exercising my Second Amendment rights here, you fucking communist.
Damn right I'm a fucking communist.
I love how that's used in that insult, because the Second Amendment can exist under communism.
I'm under your bed.
I'm sorry for you, I fart a lot in my sleep.
How I sustain myself, Madman.
Alright, last story up for tonight. It's from Sky.com. A prototype toilet which uses urine to generate electricity has been launched on a UK university campus. The working urinal has been installed on the University of the West of England's campus in Bristol, and students and staff are being encouraged to use it. Fuel cell stacks convert the urine into power as microbes feed on the urine for their growth. It is hoped. So what this really is they came up with a microbe that converts urine into electricity. It is hoped that the technology will be used to help light cubicles in the international refugee camps where people are at risk of rape and sexual assault. What?
I love it.
They come up with a microbe that can turn urine into electricity, and they immediately take it to rape.
Well, I was about to ask, is this a unisex toilet? And is it okay that, I sexually identify as a TAC helicopter? I don't want to be harassed going in those things.
Research lead professor...
what? No. Oh.
Laurenus Leporis said, it is an effective system which taps a portion of that biochemical energy used for microbial growth and converts that directly into electricity, what we are calling urinetricity or pee power.
They didn't need to stop naming stuff.
This whole story is just horrible. So, which is why we didn't give a comment on your bathroom rape scenario there, are you?
Well, I've looked at the article, and to me it looks like the editor's gone, look, got a toilet story I need you to do for the tech section, but we need one extra social justice story as well. Can you meld the two together?
Yeah.
That's how it looks like it's been written to me. I can't take it seriously. Like, the technology is fucking incredible, but it's got nothing to do with rape prevention or anything like that. Let's state what it does. It creates how many kilowatts of power does it make? How quick can we make these? How quick can we install them in third world countries? What's the net cost? What's net benefit?
Let's break it down. Install them everywhere. I mean,
yeah, this
feed
guy's
it back into the grid.
Broken anything down, man. I'm not criticizing you, man. I'm just criticizing the poor writing of the story. It's got a lot more hype to the story if you look into it. Think about it, man. You power your own house on your own piss.
Well, I don't know that it's that much power.
I know, but
it would reduce your electricity cost and do something with waste.
Well, now, that's what I'm saying.
I'd like to see a portable version of it. I'd like to see, the little can that you hook your phone up and then you piss and charge your phone. So, when you're lost out in the woods.
I'm not sure it would be that good because it's still relying on microbial growth.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be a long-term battery thing.
Yeah, that's where I look at it too. It's for trickle feed into the grid,
Yeah.
So I could see it offsetting electric costs of houses.
I could see it doing a lot of things.
and possibly even distilling urine. Because the microbes are going to be flushing a lot of that water, I bet it might be even more purified.
Well, then you throw what's left over of that through a throw it through a ozone filter first, and then you'll have add some impurities, and you've got pure drinking water again.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You know this from doing this stuff too. It is hard to find good writing anymore.
It's really bad, and I can't help but take the piss out of some of these writers, and the editors are just as bad.
I know you didn't intend it, but it was a good pun.
Damn, I say that all the time.
Yeah,
I know. Brumching. You are right, Morps, because I think a lot of it comes from lazy editing and just having, well, you write a blog column, congratulations, you're now a writer.
Yeah.
We need you to look at it from this angle. Oh, you're not a real journalist, so you don't have integrity or ethics? Don't worry about that. Go ahead and fuck your source. Sleep with your colleagues. It's great. It'll be fine.
Going with real journalists do that.
Actually, no. Here's a tip. Why don't you you're a commenter on and a political writer. Go hang out in the White House for a night and let them piss all over you and shower you with goodies. That way, you won't have anything favorable to say about them tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And any correspondent that goes to the White House dinner is a fucking retard and a sellout. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Fox. Fox News, not Fox Wolf.
Yeah, he didn't make it back, did he?
Oh, he's on his way back soon, but no, I'm just saying, you can't sit there and bag the president 24 hours a day, Megyn Kelly, and then fucking go get your photo taken with him. It doesn't work like that.
All right, let's move on to this. All right, what I have for decking tonight, I've only got one thing in the notes, but we're going to tack that. I'm going to throw the link for that YouTube video in on the show notes. The forensics fails, which are hilarious, by the way. But what I have for decking tonight is a tool called Rufus. That rufus.akeo.ie. Rufus is a utility that helps format and create bootable USB flash drives, such as USB keys, pen drives, memory sticks, whatever. It is especially useful for cases where you need to create USB installation media from bootable ISOs, such as Windows, Linux, UEFI, whatever. You need to work on a system that doesn't have an OS installed, whatever. It's UNET booting, but it's faster than UNET booting. It's actually a decent amount faster than UNET booting. They've got tests on the webpage, but I was playing with it earlier, and it is noticeably faster to make bootable USB drives. Nobody else has to mess with that very much anymore, do they?
Nope.
Not really.
I've made one bootable USB drive that has my Windows install on it. No, yeah. Two, because I still have Puppy Linux.
I was mucking around with them to get the handshake signatures right on systems, but that's about it.
Well, it's a handy tool. It's a good list, and it's just a nice quick way to get a drive set up if you need to. So, and it is faster, which is nice. So, anyways, that's all I've really got for tonight. I will have that YouTube video link thrown in the notes here. Of course, listening to the stream, we're always working on it. Pure decking every Saturday. Lore's got a handful of shows. He usually does one on Tuesday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the subreddit. Of course, check out the new beta site at beta.galaxy15radio.com. That's actually where the new shows are getting posted. That's all I've really got for tonight. You have anything?
HN comes back in about 10, 15, 20 minutes. That's right. It's back, ladies and gentlemen. In a different format. I know. Who knows? I'm just sort of starting it back up just slowly. We're just sort of going to rev the car in the garage for a while with the garage door down and all the windows shut. And just breathe in those fumes. Just breathe deep, deep breaths. Carbon monoxide for all. And we'll just see how we go.
End well.
Good exactly. Thing I bought my oxygen tank.
and if you tell them to get helium. Back in the car, you can be charged with murder in some states now.
Well, I would make a helium tank, but I don't know how to do a helium voice without helium.
I'll tell you about something off air, Madman, because this isn't really a good story to end a show on. But yeah, hang around, guys. We'll be back in about 20 minutes to kick off IHN. Cool. It won't be a long show, so you won't be sitting here for an hour and 45 minutes listening to Morps go on about computing.
Well, we're sorry.
I'm just fucking around, man.
I know. I need to come up with a closing tagline that's better than "I'm just fucking done." You know, good night and good luck's the standard one now, isn't it?
Yeah, I like the Edward R. Murrow one, man. You know, on his last broadcast. I've always been a fan of that one.
I don't remember that one.
Every night he would just turn the camera with his cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He was like, "And good night and good luck."
Well, I don't have a cigarette. So.
No, I know, but you could do a pencil or whatever. But no one's going to fucking see you. It's not like we broadcast. Jesus Christ, why am I arguing with you? End the show.
The world is fucked. Good night.
We're one step closer to our robot overlords, and I praise their coming.
I will toil.
Hey, I'm just exercising my Second Amendment rights here, you fucking communist.